It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Miss America, Grace Stanky, representing Miss Wisconsin, of course, earning the title and crown last month. That crowning moment courtesy of the Miss America organization. Grace is a nuclear engineering major at UW-Madison from Wausau. Call in about what you want to ask Miss America, the pageant tradition, the social impact work that candidates take on. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Grace, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. How are you doing today?
I am well. So let's talk about that moment. What was going through your mind when you felt that crown placed on your head 3 weeks ago?
Well, absolutely thankfulness, but in all reality, it was also absolute chaos. You know, that's a moment that, in the same way an athlete envisions the gold medal, that's sort of what it was for me. It's that envisioning and that dream coming to life. But at this point in time, I've now earned almost $70,000 in scholarships to go towards my education, thanks to the Miss America organization. The Miss America organization awards $5 million in scholarships a year to women all across the country. And that really speaks to the character of what this organization represents and what being Miss America is all about.
Had you visualized that moment happening to you in the days beforehand? Had you prepared yourself? I mean, you were like, in looking at that moment, you were exchanging a lot of words with Miss New York with, you know, in those final seconds. Can you share what you were expressing there?
Yes. So one of the best things about going to Miss America is meeting those other 50 incredible women. We have a woman from each state and the District of Columbia compete for the job of Miss America. And every single one of those women on those stages were able to do the job of Miss America. They were incredible. We had trauma surgeons, we had teachers, we had lawyers, attorneys, performing arts specialists, future of all of those things, and so many more incredible women. And when I was standing up there with Taryn, who was Miss New York, she was the first runner up, we were really just sharing kind words with each other. I was telling her how I envisioned her year as Miss America, because it truly is about supporting each other as women and uplifting each other as we continue our lives. You know, only one woman walks away as Miss America, but that doesn't change the fact that we're able to go on and do great things in this world.
We're talking about the goals and the impact of Grace Stanky, Miss America, UW-Madison Nuclear Engineering Senior. We'll get more into that in a moment. You can join in along the way about Miss America, 800-642-1234. So, Grace, before winning the pageant, you won the Talent Scholarship with a classical violin performance, and we're going to listen here to an excerpt. Oh my goodness, I think we're having some audio problems, so we're going to stop that excerpt because it was amazing as I listened to it. So can you tell us about the piece you performed?
Yes. So I played Storm by Vivaldi, which is also in the classical world more commonly known as the third movement of Summer from the Four Seasons that Antonio Vivaldi wrote. One thing about the Miss America competition is the talent portion. We are limited to 90 seconds. So I condensed that piece down and took the fun, exciting parts out of it, because the Miss America competition is all about the entertainment aspect when it comes to talent. And, you know, anybody can get up there and do anything. We've had Miss Americas that do science experiments. We have monologues. We have also the traditional singing, dancing, and musical instruments. But talent is really a different word for can you entertain an audience in some way, which is just awesome, because I was able to go through and use this as an outlet to explore my violin in a more creative manner. I actually didn't, it was classical, but the accompaniment, if you listen, is not classical at all. It's got drums, it's got a little bit of a different beat to it. So I wanted to have a blend of a classical instrument and a classical piece, but with a modern twist.
And I noticed you're moving a lot around the stage as you play your violin. And so how did you incorporate that movement, that choreography into, you know, a difficult violin piece?
A lot of it comes back to that entertainment aspect. For me, I just got the playing to be just pure muscle memory. And after that, it's more about going out on stage and just having fun for me. And that was something I did. And walking around, making eye contact with people, you know, having fun with the performance and making it entertaining is why that moving around is happening. And it's something that's fun to it. I think it adds a lot to the performance.
And it is, I think you mentioned 90 seconds of a piece of a performance. So, you know, I can understand how you would have that in muscle memory, and then the rest you can really engage with the things around you.
Yes,
Yeah.
exactly.
How has playing the violin helped you see your education and see problems in new ways? What has it opened up for you?
So this is one thing I talk a lot about as a nuclear engineer, actually, and an engineering student. My violin has been such a huge part of my life, one in a way for me to cope with my emotions, but also in a way for me to look at engineering problems with a different perspective. I always get frustrated when people say, okay, are you right-brained or left-brained? But I fully believe people can be both. And I think that having the ability to be an engineer and a musician makes me, one, a better musician, but also too a better engineer, because I'm able to look at things with a little bit of a different perspective than somebody who's really set on that one track mind. But it's something that I'm so thankful for, and I think it's good to focus in on one or the other if that's what somebody wants. But for me, I personally support doing both of it, doing as much as I can in order to diversify my background and diversify my experience. I'm a competitive water skier. I love hiking. I love, you know, my violin and spending time with my family, on top of nuclear engineering. And I think all of those things are what gives me a good background to be an engineer.
We're going to talk more about that competitive water skiing because I'm really interested. I mean, but you know,
Yeah.
how do you balance all of those interests? Where do you find the time and how do you prioritize?
Well, prioritize, you know, school, work, that always is going to come first, no matter what. But when it comes down to it, it's really all of those things are things I enjoy. And each of them have their own sort of aspect in my life where, you know, my violin was, I've been playing for 12 years, and it was a big part of my life when my dad went through cancer, not once, but twice. It was a way for me to sort of help with the emotions that I was feeling as a 13-year-old that was watching my dad, you know, go from a 6'6" teddy bear to basically a bag of skin and bones, which is always a terrifying experience, but it's something that my violin really helps me through that. And having those ways of just different outlets for me to portray myself and be myself was so important for me. And when it comes to time management, you know, lists, that's where being an engineer comes in handy, because I am definitely, I've got Excel spreadsheets, I've got lists, I've got it all.
Your father influenced your decision to follow the path of nuclear engineering. What was that impression he made on you? Can you tell us a bit about that story?
Yeah, so when I was 16 years old, I knew I wanted to go into engineering. My dad was a civil engineer, so I grew up seeing construction sites and seeing bridges put up and taken down and things like that. So I toured a bunch of colleges, and nuclear engineering just sounded really cool, right? That's honestly what it started out as. And when it came down to actually making a decision, I had engineering narrowed down to either aerospace or nuclear. And I was talking to my dad about it, just like, all right, what do you think? And he goes, well, don't go into nuclear. There's no future there. There's no career there. And the 16-year-old me went, all right, dad, watch me. And I ended up going into it. And now he is a very big supporter of nuclear energy. I've fallen in love with the field and gotten into the field for other reasons now, both in terms of like career and the absolute fun I have with it. I'm a type of person that loves a challenge and doing something different every day. And the nuclear engineering field is really sort of a melting pot of all different types of engineering. We have to know a little bit of electrical. We have to know a little bit of mechanical. We have to know a little bit of chemical things and just a little bit of everything in order to make a nuclear power plant operate. But now my dad, like I said, is a huge supporter of nuclear energy, and he's always been supportive of me and my journey, and I'm incredibly thankful for that.
And he was there with you, I understand, at the Miss America competition. That must have
Yes.
meant the world to you.
Yes, it did. I had a lot of my family out there, actually. I was shocked because Miss America was right before December, so I was like, okay, with the holidays, like I'm not expecting anyone to really make it out if they can't make it. But they actually had our parents sitting on stage during finals night for the top
Oh,
11.
wow.
And that was, for me, I'm the type of person that's always been like, I'm fiercely independent from my parents, right? But I definitely seeing them the first time on stage, it brought a tear to my eye. And it's really about the volunteers and the parents and the people behind the scenes that help make this organization go around and help create these great women that are going on to do great things in the future. And I am so thankful for their support and for the volunteer support that were also out there at the Miss America competition. They might not have been sitting on stage, but going to Miss America isn't just a one person thing. It's a team of people behind me that helped me get there, and I cannot thank those people enough.
Miss America Grace Stanky of Wisconsin receiving the crown and title at the Miss America competition held last month in Connecticut. Join in with your questions for Grace, your reflections on these competitions and the Miss America organization, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Wisconsin's own Grace Stanky of Wausau was crowned Miss America last month. The organization said it marked 50 years since the first Miss Wisconsin won Miss America. Call in with your questions about the pageant system, how it is to compete, your personal stories. They're welcome as well. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. And Miss America Grace Stanky stays with us. Grace, it was interesting how the news about nuclear fusion and how they achieved ignition, that kind of coincided with the whole pageant. Can you tell us a little bit more about nuclear power and what people should understand about nuclear energy?
Yes, so nuclear fusion, that discovery was a fantastic discovery in the world of research and moving towards that source of energy. But we already have nuclear power that is energizing about 20% of America through our current nuclear power plants, which is powered by fission, which there's two separate nuclear reactions. Fission is the breaking apart of atoms. Fusion is the opposite. It's building up. So I like to remember them with fusion has a U, so up, right? But nuclear power is already powering 20% of America with safe, effective, and reliable energy. And it's zero carbon throughout all of that as well. And one of the perks about nuclear energy being zero carbon is it actually doesn't rely on its outside environment in any way. And I firmly believe that that's why it should be one of our primary energy sources as we continue the conversion to zero carbon energy, because it doesn't use a lot of land. So that way, as our population continues to grow, we can continue using that land for farming and agricultural purposes. And we can use that clean, zero carbon energy coming from nuclear energy to power our cities and power our major areas.
A major environmental concern, though, related to nuclear power is the creation of radioactive waste and the used up reactor fuel. Like, what is safe and ethical to have this waste product, decay, and where should it be stored? How do you think about those concerns?
Each individual throughout their entire lifetime would only produce as much, I guess we can call it waste for now. I'll get into that in a second here. But each individual throughout their lifetime creates only one soda can's worth of waste, right? And that's such a small amount in comparison to the tons of emissions that coal and fossil fuel and natural gas plants are creating. But when it comes down to it, nuclear waste really isn't waste. When we pull it out of the plant, there still is at least 80% of that energy in that fuel still there. But because of public policy, we're not able to recycle, we're not able to reuse that waste for any other purposes. So it's not a science or a technology issue. We know how we could manage that waste and continue to reuse it in other beneficial ways, ranging from medicinal purposes to refueling and putting it right back into those nuclear power plants. But overall, I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that nuclear waste is, you know, truly dangerous or a lot of it, when in reality, right now here in Wisconsin, we've got one nuclear power plant that's been operating for 40 years. All of the waste that it's produced in 40 years can fit within an Olympic-sized swimming pool, and it doesn't fill up that swimming pool. So it's such a small amount of waste in comparison to every other form of energy, and that is truly remarkable.
Nuclear fusion is sometimes labeled the holy grail of clean energy. Why is it such a big deal?
So fusion is the building up of atoms, which I mentioned earlier. So combining two atoms to create a new atom, and not necessarily new, but a bigger atom and some extra form of energy along with it. And one of the main reasons why this is seen as the holy grail of energy production is because it can be fueled by water, which we all know is a source we have a lot of here on Earth. And that's something that when it comes to the output, there is very little radiation output or anything along those lines. However, there's a lot of difficulties that the scientific community still has to overcome, because fusion is, we're basically trying to create a sun here on planet Earth is what it is, because fusion is what's going on in the sun. And we're trying to do that on a smaller scale here on the planet. So that leads to a lot of confinement and containment issues and things like that. But there is some tremendous strides being made in the fusion community, and I fully support it. I am so excited to continue to see where that field goes, as I used to work in a fusion lab, and that's something that was always exciting to be a part of.
Grace Stanky with us, Miss America, UW-Madison Nuclear Engineering Senior. You can join in along the way at 800-642-1234. Emily's with us from Milwaukee with a question. Hi, Emily. Go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Hi, Grace. I remember back when I was a little girl, I think I'm much older than you are, like the pageants seemed like they had a swimsuit competition. I know, I think Miss America eliminated it a few years ago, but I'm just curious, I assume this wasn't your first pageant, and if you've observed any other sort of positive changes in that, how pageants are conducted, and whether you had participated in different style pageants before, or if in your experience they've always been kind of more focused on education and more positive things.
Thank you, Emily. Grace, go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Emily. First of all, I'm so excited to talk with you. So the Miss America organization removed the swimsuit competition about 5 years ago now. So the Miss America organization is undergoing some tremendous changes. We don't judge on outward beauty anymore. So we actually don't even call ourselves a beauty pageant at this point. We're a scholarship competition, because it comes back to the idea that the Miss America organization, we award $5 million in scholarships a year to women across the country. And that's changing lives. It's not about how you can walk in a swimsuit. It's about what ideas can you present? Can you sit in a boardroom and guide the conversation? And that's something that's very important to me. You know, I competed in the outstanding teen portion of this organization. So for those of you that don't know, Miss America is women ages 18 to 26. And there's an outstanding teen division for women ages 13 to 18. And I participated in that. And at that time, the Miss level still had swimsuits. Outstanding teen does what's called fitness and lifestyle. So there's no swimsuit for teens. But it's something that I saw the Miss competition at the time, and I wouldn't have come back if I didn't support these changes and love these changes, which I truly do. It's exciting to see how this organization is evolving, and the caliber of women that are involved are career-driven, ambitious. I have no doubt that we have future presidents of the United States that are participating in our competition.
Last year, Miss America's winner said she planned to use the platform to promote inclusion and open-mindedness. Mm-hmm. How could the organization become a more welcoming competition to people of diverse backgrounds and diverse views?
we already have an incredible diverse group of women. You know, looking at the 51 women that were on that stage that night, I mentioned this earlier, we had trauma surgeons, we had teachers, we had nurses, we had people from all different types of backgrounds. Our judging panel this year was incredibly diverse. It was recognized by Vogue magazine, and that's something that's truly remarkable. We're modernizing with times and continuing to promote that.
What steps could the organization take now, do you think, to make the competition relevant long into the future? Where does it go next?
I think right now we're seeing those changes happen. I think there's a big difference in what the women are in the Miss America organization in comparison to any other organization that we might be compared to. We're not afraid to speak out and speak not only on a national level, but on a global level. We're promoting changes that are important and relevant in society. And America is a global leader. I don't see why Miss America shouldn't be. And I'm excited to go into my year to promote clean energy for a cleaner future and speak, like I said, not only on a national but an international level about nuclear power across the globe.
Grace, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Kate.
Miss Wisconsin Grace Stanky is a nuclear engineering student and the recently crowned Miss America 2023. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.